peace, joy, and love to you. Thank you for joining us for part two of a must-hear broadcast with our returning guest, the national civil rights activist, Brother John C. Barnett. Part one was conducted October 31st, 2022. I'm sorry. Just 2 days ago, and we ran out of time pertaining to justice for Emmett Till and his family. Many of us are aware of the Emmett Till case in Mississippi, 1955. Young 14-year-old Emmett was brutally kidnapped, murdered. He was kidnapped out of his relative's home where he was visiting from Chicago, Illinois. He was kidnapped by Roy Bryant and his half-brother, J.W. Millam. Many people know that today the movie is out, Till, and the story is still alive because in part one, our guest, Brother John C. Barnett, was explaining about a warrant that is 67 years old, a 67-year-old arrest warrant is for the arrest of the lady that really started all of this controversy that led to the brutal killing of Emmett Till, and that lady's name is Carolyn Bryant Dunham. There was an arrest warrant for her 67 years ago from the sheriff, and that arrest warrant was not ever served, but found 67 years later in the basement of a courthouse in Mississippi. So I'm going to turn it over to our guest because, as we said, this trial, this case is ongoing. Today is November 3rd, 2022, but in 1 month, we want you to really listen up. There is action that is being taken, and we need you, we want you out there in the audience land to know what time it is, what is taking place, and please get involved. Brother John C. Barnett, peace to you. Thank you for coming back again to Near 2X Radio, the voice of the people.
Yeah, peace and blessings. Sister, good morning. How you doing?
I am certainly faithful. How are you, brother?
Doing great.
Yes, indeed. I can only imagine how busy you are. As you told us in part one, that you get 40 calls per week of people around the country that need your help. Now, for the listening audience, you want to hear part one because he covered a lot of territory, a lot of ground, gave a lot of information that we don't want to go back over in this interview because we ran out of time. And we want to take the time to talk about what is getting ready to take place so that you and I and all that loves God's justice can get involved. Brother John, where would you like to start?
Well, I guess we really definitely need to zoom in on December 3rd. We're excited about December 3rd. The last time we challenged Miss Carolyn Bryant Dunham was at her last known address in Raleigh, North Carolina. But now we've zoomed in on the actual address. She lives in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I think the percentage of blacks is probably less than 15%. We've received calls from the police department asking us if we needed any help. Let them know we won't need any help on that day. We are encouraging not only people coming from Louisville and from Nashville and from Memphis and college fraternities that we're reaching out to. But we're also going to be blessed with the presence of the Black Panther Movement. We're inviting the Nation of Islam and so forth and so on. So we're excited about that. And what will happen on December 3rd is basically our continued cry to get Mississippi to execute the warrant for Miss Carolyn Dunham. That warrant was found. Anybody in my neighborhood, in my neck of the woods, if they black, I got 9 friends in prison in South Carolina. And when they had warrants, there was no denying the fact that the police was not only looking for you, but going to lock you up because you had that warrant. So this is probably the first person in history I've seen with a warrant where they didn't want to lock her up. And I think for justice for Miss Mamie Teal, who died in 2003, his father died literally, I think, in 1950, and he died fighting for this country. Speaking of Mr. Teal, the Honorable Mr. Teal, I'll call him Emmett Teal's father, Louis Teal. So Louis Teal died fighting for this country. Mamie Teal died trying to get justice for her son. And I think this is the last cry for us to get justice for the family so they can get some forms of closure. As I close, the two men that were responsible for his death actually admitted it 15, 20 years later to a magazine where they got $4,000, where they had said that, yes, we killed Emmett Till, and what do you want to do about it?
Mm.
We got, because the jury found us not guilty. And so because of that attitude, that type of presence that was going on in Mississippi, the denial of Emmett Till having someone on the jury of his peers because it was all 12 white men, the South isn't nice to us. Louisiana, right next door, is number one in the country today with the most black men in prison, alarming 69% to 70%. So 70%, you got 100 pennies in your hand. If you threw 70 of them away, that's how many black men that they are throwing in jail in Louisiana, which is right next door to Mississippi. I call it the sister state of racism. And so we're looking forward to going to Mississippi prior to December 3rd. But on December 3rd, and I'm going to Mississippi to get inspired to utilize the presence of the Tallahatchie River, which I plan to visit. I'm going by the store where Emmett Till was allegedly groped and grabbed this lady, which he didn't do. I'm going back to all of those areas so I can kind of grasp a hold to the spirit before we leave out for Bowling Green in Tennessee on December 3rd.
How far is Bowling Green from the Tallahatchie River?
I think only, I want to say 4 hours, because it's very close. Tennessee is very close, proximity-wise, as it relates to Mississippi. So it's not that far. Last time someone went to Memphis, Tennessee, they say they weren't far from Mississippi at all. They actually traveled to Mississippi. But once they got into the state line, they realized that the Tallahatchie River was 3 hours away. So I'm thinking 3 to 4 hours.
So going to Bowling Green, what is the objective so we can know we're going to support you in doing what actually on December 3rd and around what time, please?
Okay. And on December 3rd, we're going to be convening in front of the house that morning. We're going to start early. Our goal is to set it up around we'll give people marching orders around 10. And on 12 noon is an expected time to be in front of the home. And the goal is just to bring attention and awareness and shine a light on the home of Miss Carolyn Donham, who we call a murderer, and just show America that this murderer is still living. She has a warrant for arrest, and we're just asking them to just abide by the law and do what's right, and that is arresting her so that the family can get closure. And arrest her for the murder of Emmett Till, because if it wasn't for her words in court, you know, they may have had a hung jury, maybe, maybe not, but because of her words, her saying that he groped her and grabbed her and the whole nine, which was a lie, that's ultimately ended up in Mr. Till losing his life.
And this is absolutely true. Carolyn Dunham Bryant. And there are a lot of people that were showing sympathy for Carolyn because of her age. And then it was compared with a Nazi a couple weeks prior to finding that particular warrant in the basement. There was a Nazi who was 101 years old. They had no problem arresting him, throwing him in jail. It was clear. It was understood. Nobody wimped and threw sympathy because everyone remembers what happened in Germany. And they were bringing him to trial. And that's the same thing you want to do with Carolyn Bryant Dunham. Is that right? You want to give her a fair trial, to put her on the witness stand because of the alleged lies that even the family researching the case can see that the story you said then, the story you're saying now, and the so-called book that she had the audacity to want to write, and it came out in memoirs. There are a lot of lies tangled in there. What do you say to the people, the bleeding heart people, she's in her 80s, and et cetera?
I would tell them the same thing I told the reporter in Raleigh when we convened in front of the rest home looking for Carolyn Donham Bryant. I would tell them that they didn't care about a man named William H. Cosby, who's losing his sight, or if not have already lost his sight, who was 81 years old, body is frail, he's not as sharp and witty as he used to be in the 70s, and because they locked him up, and since they had no mercy on Bill Cosby, they should not have no mercy on Carolyn Bryant Dunham.
I concur, because we're talking about the life of Emmett Till, who was only 14 years old, and as you stated in part one, it wasn't that he was just kidnapped. It wasn't that he was falsely accused, but the brutality, the horror, the evil, the wickedness, the barbaric act in what they did. Now, a lot of people know, but could you explain to us again, although you did in part one, but we want to make sure it's front and center. What did they actually do? That is J.W. Milham and his half-brother, Roy Bryant. What did they do to this child?
What they did, allegedly, after Miss Bryant lied to her husband and said that he not only whistled at her, but grabbed her and groped her, so to speak, grabbed her on her waistline. After that, they had a vengeance, and they had a goal to hunt down Emmett Till and to kill and murder him. So they came to the uncle's house, it's been said to me, by some of the members of the Till family, that they came to the home, and when they came to the home, the uncle, of course, was inside the home watching over him, because, of course, Emmett Till is visiting from Chicago. So he's a city boy visiting this city, I'm thinking, for the first time. So he goes in, he begins to fellowship with the family, hangs out with him for a couple of days, and as the brother-in-law and the husband comes to home, they beat on the door, frantically, beggingly, telling the pastor, the uncle was a pastor, a preacher, telling him to open up his door. So I'm visualizing very dark, dim lit. You're talking 12 o'clock at night, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. They proceed to come inside the house. The father, as depicted in the movie, and I won't tell much about the movie, there was a gun that's behind the door, but he did not use it. And in the movie, he says that he would have lost his whole family and his own life if he had to try to fight them as it relates to using self-defense with the shotgun. So they get Emmett Till out of the house. There was another last cry from the aunt, begging them not to take him. I heard that she had offered money, but they said they still wanted that nigger boy, is the words they used. So they take him out of the house. They take him allegedly to a barn and basically brutalize him to the furthest extent. It's been said that he was castrated, beaten, to a mere pulp, where you literally couldn't even recognize him. And then, if that wasn't enough, the men decided to just shoot him in the head. And after realizing what they did, I'm visualizing them saying, okay, well, we got to get rid of the body. So they put a generator tire, a wheel, to his foot, and they throw him in the Tallahatchie River. Gruesome, gruesome murder. And to know that these are two grown white men doing this to a young, feeble, small, 14-year-old black boy is just horrific. And I'm sure that happened to other adults. But if you notice, my sister, things began to change around this world and around this country when men are being shot. But things really shake the earth when you're messing with children. So when you look at Emmett Till and when you look at the life of Trayvon Martin, where we had thousands downtown Charlotte wearing hoodies and bringing Skittles to my justice rally, and when you look at Michael Brown, the reason those cases got to the highest extent of going viral is because they were under the age of 18, and that in reality they were little boys being targeted by some grown men. Darren Wilson, who shot Michael Brown and shot him 5 times, one in the eyeball. I attended his funeral. Trayvon Martin, I went to Sanford, Florida for his rally. He was shot center mass in the heart. And Emmett Till, who was shot in the head. And the only way they was able to recognize the body and the person that found the body was that Emmett Till floated up to the water, or the water went down because it was so hot, that some fishermen, two little boys, was fishing and seen the body and went and told authorities, even though he had been sitting there for 4 days, enough time for Miss Till to go back to Chicago and send the word out to Jet Magazine. and to know the bravery of this woman. You have to really understand the bravery of Miss Mamie Tibbs. Unlike, you know, no disrespect to Sister King, Sister Shabazz, but the courage of a mother. And the reason I say them two, because they didn't lose their sons in this type of manner. But for Mamie Till, not only to keep the coffin open, but to give the picture of her son's face to Jet Magazine for it to be publicated across the country, for the New York Times to run this on the front page, the whole world within an instant knew who Emmett Till was by seeing that face and remembering how ugly racism exists in this country. And then let alone to be an activist after her son is after her son died. And sometimes God allows people to travel down some horrible places in order for them to see the hope on the other side. And now we have the Emmett Till lynching bill that's been passed. Even though Miss Mamie didn't get to live to see it, they approved that this year. Because of her work, the Emmett Till lynching bill exists. And that's the key to civil rights, is that Reverend Sharpton taught me that it's a long road. It's not short sprints that you have to kind of gravitate to when you're fighting civil rights. Know that this is a long road. The same rocks that they threw at Dr. King were the same rocks they threw at my daddy, the same rocks they want to throw at me and Reverend Sharpton and other activists. So I think the goal to us on December 3rd is to send that message out, the same message that if Emmett Till's mother, a woman, had the ability and the power to stand up against America, against them saying, don't run this in the newspaper. Maybe there was some civil rights activists back then saying, don't put this on the front of the Jet magazine. Don't open the coffin. Funeral home director told her to keep the coffin closed. She said, no, I'm going to open up this coffin and see what Mississippi did to my son. So such bravery in the midst of mourning, and that's the type of spirit, as Khalid Muhammad said, we are people of rhythm and spirit. And because of that, we have that sensitive spirit, yet that sensitive spirit can be touched across Americans, across the world. Every mother, both black, white, and Hispanic, can feel the pain of Miss Mamie Till. And we're just trying to remind them that this lady should go to jail for what she did and locked up for the rest of her life.
And if she wasn't anything to hide ready to defend herself, she's running mm-hmm. from North Carolina now mm-hmm. in Kentucky. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't run when you're innocent. You stand up, you face your accusers, and tell your side of the story. We're talking
exactly
with...
right.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm saying you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I got to add this. I would almost be certain that last address we had in Raleigh, that we wasn't far from the mark. We Googled it. That's the name that popped up. Her son and daughter-in-law has affiliations with that restaurant. So she somehow or another existed in that place. But I could see them sneaking her out the back door, knowing that the mighty new Black Panther movement was on the way. Knowing that True Healing Under God was already in Raleigh, because it didn't take me but 2 hours to get there. Knowing that we were on the way, somebody had to sneak her out the back door and take her to another lily white city, which is Bowling Green. And keep in mind, Raleigh is 12% black folks, and Bowling Green ain't looking too good either.
We're talking with our guest, national civil rights activist, Brother John C. Barnett. And Brother John C. Barnett has an organization that helps people all over the country. He talked about it in part one, and we want to utilize part two to make sure that we are clear. And what we're doing is really God's work, because we are not satisfied. Here was an arrest warrant for Carolyn Bryant at the time. She wasn't Dunham. She was Carolyn Bryant. And tell us why the sheriff, who had the arrest warrant, said he decided not to arrest Carolyn Bryant at that time, sir.
Well, it appears that when they looked on the warrant, small writing, small print, it had said that just pick up, I guess their names, Roy and his brother-in-law. And it's been said that the warrant said leave the mother because she has two small children.
So there was pity for her children. There was sympathy and understanding for her children. But for Mr. and Mrs. Till,
that's right, no mercy at all.
No mercy, no understanding, no caring, no humane type feelings at all. And that's why today, this is, we're not seeking revenge. This is, has nothing to do with revenge. This has everything to do with God's justice. And
that's right.
People are out there, we say it all the time, we love God, and we do. And we love his justice, and we do. Well, justice requires energy. It requires an effort. It's more than just the confession that we love God's justice. God is watching all of us. And I'm asking you, if you can, if you know people in the area, if you know others, because there's power in numbers. As our guest has said, it's the publicity. We need more people talking about this, more churches, more mosques, more synagogues, atheists. It doesn't make any difference. If you know that what they've done to this child, what was done to this child, a baby, only 14 years old compared to my age, a baby, what was done to him for whistling. I understand that he did whistle, but there's no crime, although segregation in 1955 was a law. However, no one deserved to be treated in the way he was treated. And I would encourage everyone, if you want to get started on the story, go see that picture that his brave mother, that our guest, Brother John C. Barnett, talked about when the funeral director said, no, don't show this. And the mother, ain't nothing like a mother's love. You know, I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say that when a mother's baby is in a burning house, flames jumping out the window, the fire department tells everyone, we can't go in there. Mama is going in. That mama is going, and she ain't thinking about no fire, her baby, her child, or her children. And mother will break away and find a way to get in there to make the effort to save her child that she carried for 9 months. So we're listening to Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people, December 3rd, 2022. Get involved. If you can't come, please send a donation to the organization. We'll give toward the end of this interview. And if you're going to write a check, write a good check now. Now, money order, you know, don't do something that more worries. And sometimes it's not even done on purpose. People may sit on a check, and you had wished that they had cashed it a week earlier. So a money order is safe. A cashier's check, a cash app. You can give us a call if you'd like, and we'll make sure that Mr. Barnett receives the information, because this is getting involved. Again, it's not just being there December 3rd, but if you can, that's even better. But give and give and give and give, because it goes towards the memory and the living family members of Emmett Till, who we've all, if you're over 35, we've always heard of the Emmett Till case. Let's talk a little bit about his family. How involved is his family today with your organization, and what is the name of your organization?
Well, family is very active. I'm in direct contact with Sister Priscilla Williams, who's Emmett Till's cousin. They actually still live in Jackson, Mississippi. They called me last week telling me about how horrible the water is in Jackson, Mississippi. So in the midst of fighting for justice for Emmett Till, they fighting to get clean water in Jackson, Mississippi, which is blows my mind. I mean, it's horrible down there, the way they are living. I mean, the fact that she's got to use water to fill up her tub is just sounds like something from the 1960s. And we ask that the leaders down in Mississippi and city managers and those in power bring those resources to Jackson, clean up that water, and whatever they got to do to give them fresh water, then that's what they need to do, no matter how long it takes for them to dig for wells and dig for that good, pure water that they deserve in Jackson.
And keep in mind, Jackson, Mississippi is being neglected simply because it's 50% black folks. And you can do the math on that.
It's how many? What's the percentage of black people?
80%, which I did not know. I did not know that Jackson, Mississippi, which is the capital of Mississippi, it's almost 79-80% black. And it will even go on to say that it's still so bad in Mississippi. When I first visited Mississippi, I was hired by Marvin Winans of the Winans group, the gospel group, and he hired me and he flew me into Hattiesburg, Mississippi to fight for a pastor who was being set up by the feds. That was about 4 years ago. So when I spoke at the church that night, I told him the only two things I know about Mississippi is the Mississippi River and Mississippi Burning, the movie. And then I'm saying I'm here to learn about Mississippi. So as we talk about Mississippi, in the same breath that I'm having, Benjamin Crump and others are rising up and preparing themselves to do a press conference if they hadn't already done it already. In Biloxi, Mississippi, where a 15-year-old boy was hunted down by the police, in so many words, and I would say executed to a certain extent. And so that's going on right now. Benjamin Crump has accepted that case, and so they should be in Biloxi as we speak. So we still see that not only did Emmett Till go through hell, the Jackson, Mississippi, our family, our black family there, don't even have fresh running water. Long is the day that we have to pour water jugs in our bathtub to take a bath in 2022 with all these resources that they have. America can fly a man to the moon and then shoot rockets from the moon to Mars, but y'all can't get no fresh water in Jackson, Mississippi. It blows my mind.
I understand. Now, we're profanity-free here on NIA2X Radio, a friendly reminder, but let's stick with the point. And you've made a lot of good points. We're talking about Mississippi, also the home of the fighter herself, Fannie Lou Hamer. And we're also remembering Medgar Evers. I mean, some of the most brutal cases that we've heard of certainly have been in Mississippi. And then you mentioned the new Black Panther Party. We want to make sure our brothers and sisters of the new Black Panther Party, who don't get the coverage, they don't get the invites to mainstream, and if they did, they probably would not go because they understand the sound bites and the splicing of what they said and the interpretation of how it came out. But the new Black Panther Party, headed by our mutual warrior lawyer, our friend, Brother Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, I remember them sending this year cases and cases and cases and cases of water to Mississippi because of this contaminated water. Is that right, brother?
That's correct. That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, they are on the ground, boots on the ground, and you also mentioned that they were with you looking for Carolyn Bryant Dunham in North Carolina. Now, let's say Miss Dunham answered the door when you was in North Carolina or answers the door coming up December 3rd. What would be the next step?
I would literally tell her that she needs to turn herself in. Give her innocent and sincere testimony of what she did, the lie that she told, and literally beg the sheriff department to lock her up based on what she did. She needs to beg them. That's the first time you ever heard that probably on your show. But I want her to beg, get on both knees. If she can get on those knees, I know she's 87, and her knees might be a little rusty, but if she can get down, if she can take her Geritol, some of them iron pills, and get on both knees. She needs to beg the sheriff department to lock her up. That's what she needs
up.
To do. Because she's not going to be safe. And if she don't, and I pray she don't have a heart attack, but if by chance she get a heart attack, by the time she see all them black folks in front of her house, then she might want to get some oxygen tanks inside the house. Because we ain't shutting down, and we ain't turning, and we ain't scratching where it don't itch on December 3rd. It's going down at high noon at the OK Corral.
And you are so right. And this is what we have to do, brothers and sisters, when we address the fear of too many of our people who want to make reasons, excuses, who want to object, who want to find a way to say that we're wrong. going with God's justice, we are not ever wrong. In fact, law enforcement should have done their jobs. If they had served the arrest warrant as they should have, we wouldn't have to come out and do a citizen's, set it up for a citizen's arrest, or take our time, money, efforts to go across country to do what the attorney generals, the sheriffs, the people that are elected into law enforcement positions should be doing this themselves. I can guarantee you, if it was reversed and some black mob ran and did to another Caucasian child what was done to Emmett Till, case closed. It would, hands down, it wouldn't have went no 67 years, wouldn't have went 6 hours. You lucky, it would have went 6 minutes.
That's
so
right.
No,
that's right.
If they won't do it, we're not going to just settle for anything. What is the saying? A man who doesn't stand for something will fall mm-hmm. for anything. So mm-hmm. brothers and sisters, people of goodwill, don't keep falling for anything. With this is a life that God has given all of us. Take charge and do the right thing. Carolyn Bryant Dunham should be arrested and should be given a fair trial like anyone. Let's hear the evidence. Let's hear the testimony, and then have a jury decide on what to take place. And like you said, brother, you want to see her fall on her knees and just beg them to take her to jail.
That's right.
But outside of that, take her to jail. Let's say she goes to jail. What is the goal of your heart for Carolyn Bryant Dunham?
Well, since you can't bring back Emmett Till's life, and since Sister Mamie, Honorable Sister Mamie Till, was not able to get justice, yet they want to just give you a Emmett Till lynching bill after the fact, I think that it's only right that they lock her up for her natural born life. She ain't got much time to live anyway, hypothetically speaking. If you look at the longevity of men and women these days, the numbers are actually going down. So her being 87, she needs to be in jail. And then I think that's a message for America, that you cannot get away with wrongdoing in this country. When you break the law, when you commit kidnapping, when you commit lynching, when you commit an execution, and when you commit the conspiracy to hide the body, conspiracy to murder, so whoever shot him in the head, not only was they a part of the murder, but they was conspiracy to murder. Of all those charges crumped up and put into one basket, in this country, we need to show somebody that we're going to go forth with justice and we're going to prosecute them. I actually have, and I know it's going to sound crazy, I got more respect for the Russian legal justice system than I do for the American justice system. What do I mean by that? That means they didn't play games and give this basketball player, and I hope she gets out, I really do, but they didn't give her any second chances. They didn't give her no drug classes. You broke the law, and we're going to punish you. And we're not going to give you an ankle monitor to slide out the back door. We're not going to say we're not going to execute the warrant, Miss Carolyn Dunham. We're going to show you that when you break the law, we're going to enforce justice on you. So Russia then locked up a basketball player who Biden ain't even entertaining the conversation on that. He's just saying maybe they should let her go. But he needs to do some negotiations, and that's on another level. But my point is that I got more respect for Russia. You know why? Because somebody broke the law, and they enforced the law. Here in America, when you break the law, you have a choice whether or not they enforce the law. And Johnny Cochran said before he took his last breath, I was blessed to go to New York City with him in 2003 and eat lunch and dinner and breakfast and go to church with him in Mount Vernon. But I remember what he said. He said, a good lawyer knows the law, but a great lawyer knows the judge's cell number. Somebody know the DA, and the DA know the attorney general, and somebody's done scared the sheriff down there in Mississippi not to execute the warrant. But best believe it was used by some influence, because if there was influence on the outside, speaking of that black side, that same people that showed up in Raleigh, same people that aspire to show up December 3rd, if we come in numbers, trust me, I've seen court cases change overnight because people showed up. The Dena 6 case is a perfect example. Six boys going to prison for a school fight.
for 31,000 of us, including myself. I booked two buses out of Charlotte. We all wore black that day. 31,000 people bum-rushed the city in Gina that only had 2,500 people. What was the result of that? The lawyer didn't win the case. Them seeing 31,000 people in C-SPAN in Gina, Louisiana, changed the course of history. Those boys were not sent to prison. They actually were put on probation, and one of them just became an attorney to give you a little hope on the other side of the mountain. And so it is in America. They play games with justice. White men in South Carolina can have cocaine and get 3 years, but my homeboys are still sitting in prison in South Carolina, and they got 13 years. You can't make lemonade without lemons, and you can't make crack without cocaine. So they should be just fairly, and that's not what's been going on in this country.
Not at all. And, of course, we are talking, you were mentioning about Brittany Griner and the horrors of what is happening to her now. Our prayers, our hearts, our support, our love is for her to be released and to come back to this country and regain her freedom to pursue the rest of her life. And you're so right, you know, you can name case after case after case after case, the disparity, the immorality in the criminal justice system. Now look at that, criminal justice. What is criminal justice? They call themselves the criminal justice system. Either you have crimes or either you have justice, and we're nowhere near justice. And a lot of it is just like you said, if we the people get the facts, we have to read, we have to communicate and communicate truthfully, and you can empower yourself from just that, associating with the facts of this particular case to come out, because, again, we say we love God. So we have to do his will. We say we love Jesus. So we have to do what he did and what he would have done. We say we love Muhammad. We have to do what he said he would do. May peace be upon all of Allah, God's worthy servants. And there are a lot of worthy servants today. We're listening to one, and that is Brother John C. Barnett. He's not doing this work for notoriety, a pat on the back, but something is lit up in his life that has him on fire, and it's a good fire, a fire that fuels his commitment to do God's work in the flesh, because if we don't do it, then we're getting what we're getting. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, but please respond to that, Brother John.
Yes, I think my passion is literally what has allowed me to be doing this for the last 15 years. But I pray, Sister Nina, that one day that we'll have thousands of brothers that will have that awakening like I did. I would not be fighting civil rights if my brother had not been shot in the back by my cousin, and I had not went to the Million Man March, and I had not wrote Al Sharpton in jail, and he had not allowed me to work under him for 6 years. So because of my brother's death, I stand here fighting civil rights and being blessed and boastful about getting 25 to 30 cops fired because of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, 35 people out of jail who were innocent. Mm. They wasn't even at the location. Some of my clients, Michael Cherry, WSOC in Charlotte, you can Google that. He was in jail. They accused him of rape and robbery of 6 people, meaning he went in the house, robbed them, tied them up, and the whole nine, and come to find out he was at home with his daughter watching cartoons. But we fought for him, and we got him out. So I think that, so my point is, as we close, I wanted to make sure that you know that I pray that one day everybody had that awakening. They said that Malcolm X and Tupac were shot and killed, not because they had a lot of money. It's been said, as the Muslim brother in Charlotte told me, the Malcolm X had $313 in the bank when he died, and Tupac still owed Suge Knight. But it said that they were America feared those two men because they had the ability to electrify people. Not that they had a lot of money and had a fancy house like Never Never Land like Michael Jackson. What they said out of their mouth had the ability to electrify people. And so Thug was started 20 years ago. And yet a man that's dead named Tupac Shakur inspired me to create an organization into a prison outreach, but turns into a civil rights organization. I don't know what you call it, but I call it divine intervention. Because him inspiring me, you can get a monkey to inspire you. But because of Tupac and my reading Malcolm X's book and listening to Reverend Sharpton and listening and watching black folks just get shot down like dogs in this country, that's enough for anybody to say, I done had enough. Let me stand up and do something in my selective community.
And
that's the goal that I want.
Yes, sir. If people don't come, what are other ways people can help Thug? And Thug is an acronym. Please tell us what Thug stands for. When we come back, we got to say thank you to the following. We'll come back, give you the final words, telling us what Thug represents, which is a beautiful name, and then let people know how they can help in any way that you're going to need it. You're listening to Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. We're found at www.blackonblackunity.com. 24/7 profanity-free shows, and we do it all for you because you are more than worth it indeed. We want to say thank you to Blitz Ananda. He's the world's greatest jazz violinist. His latest work can be heard right now, titled Trinity3.live. Blitz has been on the music scene in his career over 40 years. He's performed with stars such as Barbra Streisand, all the way to hip-hop artist Chris Brown, and thousands of others. As a jazz violinist, his sound literally relaxes and inspires you in a world that produces too much anxiety and stress. Check him out, his latest work at www.trinity3.live. That's www.trinity3.live. Also, always on the move, activist former all-around athlete Colin Kaepernick has earned himself an honorary degree from Morgan State, a proud HBCU. He received his honor in transformative social justice. Kaepernick intends to inspire and lift up the next generation of leaders to elevate their communities. He was the starting quarterback for the 49ers beginning in 2011 and led his team to a Super Bowl that year. Also, and finally, indeed, everybody, we are all understanding that our health is our wealth. That's why here in the DMV, that's D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, we shop at Brown's Market, because for almost 30 years, they've provided health food, vitamins, herbs, supplements, and even skin care products that meet the need of the community. They're located 5718 Silver Hill Road in District Heights, Maryland. For individuals who are just getting into more information about health food and supplements, Brown's Market has a large amount of health books that help to gain understanding about the subjects you're reading. Stop by Brown's Market today. Their hours are 9 a.m. to 7, Monday through Saturdays, and Sundays 12 to 6 p.m. Give them a call, 301-967-3059. You'll be glad you did. All right, back with our activist, our guest, our brother, the soldier, indeed, who said one of his greatest mentors is the Honorable Reverend Dr. Al Sharpton, as well as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the late great soldier himself, Brother Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our guest, the national civil rights leader, activist, Brother John C. Barnett. Brother, you are going to tell us what Thug represents, and as well, your closing remarks, please.
Yes, I sure will. Well, Thug was started in 94 by my, after my brother's death. I went to the Mean March, and they encouraged us, Minister Farrakhan encouraged us to go home and write one brother in prison. When I came home, I started Thug, because I was actually listening to Tupac Shakur on my way to the Mean March, and thought I'd change Thug and turn it into something positive. So we created an acronym, True Healing Under God, and our main purpose in 97, literally when it was started, was to write brothers in jail.
and helped him do their time in jail, inspiring and encouraging them. It was Elijah Muhammad that wrote Malcolm X in Jail. It was Dr. King that sent letters from the Birmingham jail to pastors. And it was the Paul in the Bible that sent letters out to the Corinthians. So that same concept, we utilize that to embrace and connect with our brothers behind bars because they need love and hope and inspiration too. But then in 2008, because racism had went to an all-time high, I remember Barack Obama getting in office and a white man next door shooting his shotgun in the air multiple times, being upset that they had a black president. A few weeks after that, I went full-time in civil rights and turned True Healing Under God and revised it from a prison outreach to a national civil rights office. And now we're in 17 states, as I told you last week or earlier this week, with no laptop. Passion is what drives us. And on December 3rd, we encourage anybody to come out to Bowling Green. You asked earlier, how can they support Thug? I want to let them know that they can reach out to us via Cash App at Thug Civil Rights. That's right, THUG Civil Rights. Donations will go toward hotel fees, accommodations, gas, food. It takes a lot of money and resources nowadays, especially with gas, to go from North Carolina to Kentucky. But we're going to go there by any means necessary. But we want to take people with us. So, Miss Sister Nenex, if you told you earlier this week, as we told you, your hotel is already paid for in full by a local pastor here in Charlotte. So I need to shout out Henrico White of Weeping Willow Amy Zion Church, who I went to his church on Sunday, told him let me speak for 3 minutes. I'm sure somebody in there needs some help. After service, 10 people came up to me. So he donated to our organization, and I said, he asked me what kind of help do I need. I said, help me with December 3rd and help me sponsor some of these rooms. So he paid for your room. You were the first one at the top of the list because you're allowing us to be blessed to be on your show today. We want to bless you back, so to speak.
All praises are due to Allah, and I thank you. I thank him, and inshallah, God willing, I'm going to beat y'all there.
That'd be great.
I'm going to beat y'all there. I want to be a part of the justice for Emmett Till and his family, and I thank y'all again and giving all praises to Allah. Go ahead, brother. You have the floor.
Yeah, I was going to say that we also think if your listeners need help legally, I don't care if it's a warrant for their cousin Junebug, I don't care if it's divorce. I did Sunshine Anderson, helped her with her divorce, and my mother. If it's criminal charges, if your cousin in prison with COVID, we can do all criminal cases. I have lawyers in 17 states, close to 35 lawyers. Lawyers love me. I'm a lawyer's best friend because all of these calls, half of them got to go somewhere, and I'm not a lawyer. So you can imagine the lawyers that love us, especially Charles Everett. Want to shout him out in Charlotte because he's taken close to 70 cases that people have called me frantically, car wrecks and police shootings and being tased by the police. But because of his efforts, we are the Batman and Robin effect in Charlotte. So I definitely want to shout out Attorney Charles Everett for being a big supporter of Thug,
yes,
but not only that, being a supporter of our clients. So if they need help legally, your listeners, they can call us at 803-412-6854. Again, that's 803-412-6854. On Facebook, it's John C. Barnett, page number one and page Roman numeral three. And then on Instagram, they can contact us at civil rights underscore CEO.
You know, brother, a lot of people, really, black people, really don't know what time it is. We're on the rise. I mean, we're cooking with brother, warrior, lawyer, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We're cooking with the civil rights organization we're talking to now, Thug, which represents True Healing Under God. And there are other brothers and sisters that are out here. But you're waiting for the open enemy to tell you you're on the rise. Your sister is telling you. So the value of it coming from little old black me, it's not hitting home for you. You're waiting for some other major network to say black people are on the rise. But you got to react. You got to take that chain off of your brain. We are literally rising by Allah, God's permission. Some of you may say, oh, if she didn't say, listen, by Jesus' permission, by Jehovah's permission, by Yahweh's permission, whatever you call our Father, our Creator, we black people are on the rise. So come out from under the bed. You don't have to be hiding under your bunk bed. Come on out and be a part of the rise, especially December 3rd.
That's correct.
The memory of that child, our brother, his family, and for God's justice. We're talking about Emmett Till. We can do something. And we're going in the spirit that Dr. King and Reverend, the Honorable Reverend Al Sharpton represent, nonviolent. Even the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they represent nonviolence. You can't carry weapons in the nation. You can't carry anything as small as a hairpin. It's all about being nonviolent and standing up and letting God do what he said he was going to do. Said he'll fight the battle for us. Let's come together. Power in numbers. Brother John C. Barnett, you have a couple people that are on the line. Does anyone want to say something before we end the interview? You have a couple people this time, and they are certainly welcome. How about you, Brother Allah Rahman? Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for acknowledging my presence here. It's been a wonderful interview. I think the information that you guys are imparting to the public today is right on time, and I'm very grateful just to be a listener in the audience, okay? Y'all have a great day. John has always been a wonderful brother. He's what I call my godson, okay?
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All, most of his adult life fighting for the rise of black people as a minister in the gospel. I'm just honored to be here with him today to support him. Thank you so much, John, and thank you, sister. I think this has been a wonderful interview. And the questions that you asked were right on point, the statements that you made, and John's response to your questions and your
just praise to be. Allah. So thank
Allah
you,
bless
brother.
You all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Wa alaikum salam.
We have
that's
time
my big,
for one more.
And I want to make sure I let you know.
Can
okay,
I
hold
speak?
On,
yeah.
John. Go ahead, Brother John. Hold in, Ms. Partner. We'll come right back to you.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick that that is my big brother. My godfather, he gives me all the wisdom. He even teaches me how to eat right. That's Brother Rahman. And Brother Rahman is Grammy nominee, Sunshine Anderson's father. So he just took me under his wing, and I thank God for that, brother. I've been knowing him almost over a decade, but he is a blessing to me because he tell me them hidden secrets that America haven't told me. And so when I walk outside, I can listen to what he told me and use it against this vicious world that we live in.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, sir. Sister,
this
Parin.
Is Andrea Fidel out of Raleigh. I am actually part of the True Healing Under God. I wanted to also speak on John. He is my mentor. I love him to life. He has been teaching me a great thing as far as how to be out here as an activist and as an advocate, and being able to speak for our people. I've learned a lot. I've learned not to write things down, to speak from my heart. That's when your true spirit shows, when it comes from your heart. And he taught me well. So I do live here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I will be part of the people that will be going with him on December 3rd to be able to fight
right.
for justice for Emmett. And my name on social media is FBA Goddess. That's Foundational Black American. FBA Goddess, that's who I am across all social media. I do have all information, John Barnett. If you are interested, he is true to what he says. He is true grassroots. He does not take money from other people because what that happens is they are in your business. We can't do business if people are in our business. So if we want him to continue and being able to do it, he needs those donations coming in to be able to do that for him. To be able to get around to help us. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
And thank you.
Sister
thank
Andrea.
You for all the callers that came on a couple days ago and even today. We were more clear today where we could include your comments. And it's all good. We have to start focusing on what is more important, not every little petty thing. That's how we get so distracted and so separated because we put too much energy in things that we can maturely say, oh, okay, and keep it moving. The eyes on the prize is God's justice for Emmett Till, and we can get it if we have that forward-thinking attitude, personality, love, respect. God will carry us over as he has done since the time we were kidnapped in 1555. Brother John C. Barnett, you have the last 10 to 15 seconds, and we'll shut it down so we don't lose the interview. thank you, I'm going to say right now, to the advertisers, the callers, the listeners, and, of course, to our guest, Brother John C. Barnett, who founded True Healing Under God, the acronym THUG. Go ahead, soldier.
Yes, I just want to encourage everyone, if you can break your neck to come to CIAA, which draws about 50 to 60,000 people in Charlotte every year, if you can break your neck to go to the Essence Festival and watch D'Angelo on stage or Prince or my favorite group, New Edition, if you can break your neck to go to Bike Week in Daytona, surely you can take time out of your schedule to sacrifice for your struggle, the struggle that allowed people to get in some of these jobs, to sit on certain city council benches. Fight for the struggle and show up on December 3rd in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We definitely need your support, and we're looking for speakers as well. So I encourage everyone to reach out to us. Definitely call us or inbox us. We're not hard to find, and we'll be definitely looking to see everyone in Bowling Green on December 3rd.
Thank you.
And I want to give a special shout-out to my big brother. I wouldn't even known about this case if it wasn't for my big brother, attorney, and honorable, I call him the honorable Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I'm actually reading his book right now. Great brother, very sincere and passionate about what he does, not only in the streets, but in that courtroom as well. So I want to thank him personally.
All praises are due to Allah. We want to say thank you again. And, brother, we'll be in touch, making sure our audience and our sister stations around the country also know what time it is so we can swell the ranks of righteousness, goodness, boldness, doing God's work. So everybody have a great day. Thank you for tuning in. We're at www.blackonblackunity.com 24/7, profanity-free, and we do it all for you. Thank you. Peaceful greetings and love to everyone.